If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 34. Last week, we had been studying in the life of David, and I asked y'all to read Psalm 34. I do have a question before we get started, and I want a show of hands. Who would like to guess what I'm going to speak about tonight? Would anybody? Come on, take a pop shot. I wrote something on the board. Jacob? Nope. That was a trick question. But I do want to talk about discipline before we get started in our lesson. And I just been thinking about my own life. And I want to ask you, parents, kids, I know we kind of here celebrating the end of this learning season. How disciplined are we in our life? I mean, start thinking about, let me ask you this question. How disciplined do you think Christ was? Do you think he just kind of did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it? Or do you think he was a man of self-control? And I've been examining my own life, and there's some areas in my life that I'm kind of loose at. In other words, I'm not real disciplined. In order to learn, you know what we have to be? We have to be discipled, right? We have to be taught. And we have to be disciplined in our studies. And how more beneficial do you think our life would be? I'm just asking you this before we get started. Our lesson's not going to be on that. But how more beneficial do you think our life would be if we were just a little bit more disciplined in every area of our life? In our study, in our prayer life, in self-control, in not doing those things that we want to do, but doing what the Father would have us to do. I just want you to think about that. Psalm 34. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you help us tonight as we look at your word, that God, you would speak to us, that you would teach us, that you would help us. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 34 says in verse 1, and we're just going to go, I actually have about seven verses we're going to go through tonight. I don't plan on taking a lot of time, but what I want to do is just look at this. We've been studying David's life. This is a psalm of David. This is a psalm of David praising God for deliverance. Psalm 34:1 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here we see David, he's settled and he's fixed upon one thing. And what is that? Praising the Lord. Here, David is personally determined to do something. And that is what? What's he say? He said, I will what? Bless the Lord at all times. How do we bless the Lord? Now, I got to thinking about that. And my lesson wasn't on discipline, but if we discipline ourselves according to the Word of God, do you think we would bless the Lord at all times? I would say without a doubt. If we were, as children, if you were disciplined and you kept your room clean, how many of y'all keep y'all's room clean? Anybody in here? Parents. No hands up? If we were a little bit more disciplined in that area, I didn't see a hand go up. I seen a couple in the kids, but none in the parents. Do you think we would be a blessing to... If our kids were to clean their room, do you think it would be a blessing to their parents? It would. David's saying here, what he's saying is, he says, I know where praise is. Who should we praise? Now look, we've had a successful year. We've had a year of no incidents here, right? Think about it. Think about all. Have you ever thought about all the things that could go wrong? And we can bog down doing that. That's probably not a good idea. But sometimes we get hung up and we don't think about all the things that go right, right? And what we need to do is we need to be like David. And we need to know who to praise, and we need to know where praise is due. And I tell you right now, praise is due to who? It is due to God. We're fixing to go eat. How many of y'all actually spent money on eating? I know a few of us have. I'm talking about the adults. But some of y'all's kids, y'all didn't have to dig out your pocket or your piggy bank to come up here and come eat crawfish, did you? You know what we ought to be? We ought to be thankful. And those of us that did give money, where did that money come from? We ought to give praise. We ought to be thankful. We ought to thank the Lord. I've been studying this, and Charles Spurgeon said this: the Lord has by right a monopoly in His creatures' praise. You know who deserves all our praises? The Lord does. Does He not? Does He? Is He not rightfully deserving of our praises? He is. We see David here, and what we have to understand. Now, we've been studying this. I know a lot of y'all haven't been in here on Sunday nights because y'all been in y'all's classes. But we must understand that David, at this point in David's life, if you look, I don't know if your Bible says it, but mine says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. When he changed his behavior before Achish, the king of Gath. Y'all remember we've been studying that? And David goes to Gath, and David is in a, we said he was in a pickle. In other words, he couldn't go forward, he couldn't go back. Achish's servants had David. David is in a place where he had killed their great champion, Goliath. He was their greatest enemy. David was. He was one of the greatest, or the greatest warrior in the nation of Israel. And now all of a sudden, they bring him before the king. He was going there hoping no one would recognize who he was. And guess what? He's immediately recognized. They said, this is the king of the land here, David. And you know what? David's in a bind. And you know what David does? David immediately starts to resort to things in a way that he shouldn't have. And David here, we see in this psalm here that David is giving all the honor and glory to who? To God. For what? For sparing him. For delivering him. You know, we are not to rob God of His honor and His praise. You know what David did? David did wrong in the context of this setting here. David lied. Ain't y'all ever told a lie? David lied and acted as if he was insane or mad. Now, was that right for David to do? It wasn't. But guess what? God still delivered him anyway. And you know what David did? David, even though David messed up, how many of us mess up? I mean, we're going more than likely, before we leave this campus, this church grounds tonight, we're going to mess up. We're going to think something we shouldn't. We may even say something we shouldn't. I hope we don't, but we probably will. Some of us will. And you know what? There's mercy and there's forgiveness with God, is there not? And David understood that. And what David didn't want to, even though David was ashamed of what he did, because we don't see here where he brings up what he does he? No. He gives all the honor and glory to God. Even though David was ashamed of what he did not want to rob God of the honor and glory of delivering him. What's he say? He says, his praise shall be what? Continually in my mouth. You know, more than likely, at the time that David was telling this lie, you think his conscience was bothering him? How many of y'all boys end up doing things that you know you shouldn't do and your conscience bothers you? Would anybody be brave enough to raise your hand? I got a couple of y'all. Thank you. You know, David was not doing right here in this setting of this psalm. But you know what he did? He gave all the honor, praise, and glory to God. You know, I got to thinking about the union of me and my wife. And I look back when we got together. Now, I'm not going to brag on the things that took place when we got together. And there's things that I did that was wrong. Any of y'all older folk would testify of that. I wasn't living the way I should. I wasn't doing the things that I should be doing. I was living a life of deceit. But you know what? I could still be thankful that God brought me and her together. Even though it wasn't brought together in the right way, God was able to work those things out. And I don't have to glory in what we used to do, right? But you know what I can do? Give God all the honor and glory and praise for bringing me and her together, that we can live together for Him. And it's the same thing. That's just a simple example of what was going on. David knew he messed up. But David also knew that he needed to give God all the honor, glory, and praise. He said, it will be continually in my mouth. You know, our thankfulness should never be silent. How many of us are guilty of being silent? Now, we may utter it under our tongue, but we ought to not be silent. We should voice our praise to the Lord throughout all the earth. The Bible says this, that God inhabits. Y'all know what that word inhabits means? Could somebody take a guess? Dwells, lives, stays, abides. God, His, the Bible says that He inhabits what? The praise of His people. How many of us want God to abide with us and stay on us and with us and near us? You know what we need to do? We need to be continually praising Him with our mouth. Think about it for a second. If our mouths were filled with God's praise, we wouldn't have any room for complaining. Right? I'm a complainer by nature. I have to testify. I'm not proud of that fact, but I do. I complain. And most of us, if we would stop and think and examine what we say, most of us have a tendency to complain. We may just complain in different ways. And the thing is if we were filled, if our mouths were filled with the praise of God, we wouldn't have room for complaining. Neither would we have room to slander others, right? Think about that for a second. Neither would we have room in our mouth for filthy conversation, would we? If we were continually praising Him. If we continually rolled the praise of God off of our tongue, how sweet do you think our taste would be to those that would be around us? You know, if we were continually praising God, there would not be any bitterness that comes off of our tongue. There would not be any deceit. That's what the Scripture says about Christ. There was no guile, no deceit found in Him. And the thing is you know what Christ did? What the Father told Him to do. You know what Christ said? What the Father told Him to say. And he praised the Lord in everything that he did. He gave God all the credit. If we were to continually be praising Him, we would have an attitude of being grateful for what God has done for us. How many of us are grateful for what God's done for us? I know at times. Now look, I'm talking about continually, because that's what he's talking about here. I'm talking about and I know some people say you can't be that way. David wasn't that way. He wasn't that way. But when he was where he needed to be, he was in a place where he was continually praising God. And he knew that's where he needed to stay. And we ought to know that. We ought to long for that. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, boasting is something that most of us are better at than we would like to admit. How many of y'all like to brag? Anybody be willing? I got one, two. I got a few takers here. We may not think that we have a problem boasting about ourselves, but if our boasting is not about God, then you know what? Generally, it's about ourselves. If we're not going around bragging about what He has done and what He is doing in our life, we will find that we're going around bragging. We may be bragging about our kids, but you know what we're doing when we're doing that? We're really saying, look what good a job I've done raising my youngins. So we got to be careful. Notice David says that his soul shall make her boast. He doesn't say his tongue. Many times we are proud of our own selves, yet we are not bold enough to boast out loud. Ain't y'all ever been that way? In other words, look at me, but you don't say it. In other words, I hope they witnessed that. David says that his soul would make its boast. You know, if we're not boasting in the Lord, you know what we're doing? We're actually robbing God of all the honor and glory that is due to His name. I'm thankful listening to the things that y'all taught. And I understand when you come up, y'all were not bragging on what y'all had done. And I'm not saying that we have an issue here. But what we need to do is we need to be ever thankful for what God has done. And I mean, look at this, the church house. And I understand we're not busting at the seams. We're not running 2,000 people. But I'll tell you what, everybody's here. I want to give God all the honor and glory for everybody that's here and give Him the thanks. Notice what He says. He says, "The humble shall hear of the boasting and be glad." Now consider that statement. Humble people are not those who are apt to rejoice at boasting, right? If somebody's humble, if you are a truly humble person, it would probably aggravate you or burn you up to be around a braggart, would it not? Think about it. Someone who brags, usually you don't want to be around them. If they're bragging what? On themselves. But that's not the case with this boasting, he says here. He says, it will even cause the humble to brag because the boasting is rightfully applied because it is boasting about what? The one and the only one who truly deserves to be bragged about. Is God not worthy to brag about? How many of us have to say that sometimes we keep our mouth shut? I mean, God does, we've been talking about keeping memorials or an Ebenezer, writing things down that God has done. And a lot of times we tend to forget what God has done for us. Parents, how often have we been at the end of the road financially and in a bind and all of a sudden God comes through and you may run into somebody that gives you money. I'm telling you, these kind of things happen on a regular basis, do they not? Would anybody like to testify? I'm telling you, it is true that God does do these things. And you know who gets all the honor for it or who should? God should. And we are to glory in Him because He's the only one that deserves to be bragged about. Verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Here David says, help me do what? Magnify the Lord. That is, help me enlarge His name to others. Help others know what God truly is. Help me increase the knowledge of God to those who do not know Him or not aware of His majesty. It's not as if David is suggesting we can make God better. That's not what he's saying when he says, magnify the Lord with me. Why? You know, our God is altogether glorious. We cannot make Him any better than He already is. He is the best, right? But what David's saying here is he's saying that, help me to make Him known. You know, that ought to be our main goal. And you know what? We ought to be disciplined in that. We ought to be ever vigilant in making Christ known. How many of us have a tendency to get so caught up in our life, making a name for ourselves? Remember this morning we talked about what defines us. You know what ought to define us? If we are saved? Christ. People are to see us and see Christ through us. Why or how? By the way that we live. By the things that come out of our mouth. We ought to glorify Him to the point. And I tell you what, there's a constant battle. Our flesh wants to do what our flesh wants to do, and when we're not disciplined, you know what we do? We find ourselves veering and constantly having to be corrected, brought back. We have to be discipled, right? We have to be trained, brought back under subjection so that we can learn again. And what we ought to do is we ought to want to make God known to those that do not know Him. David says, let us, let me and you, let us corporately, together, let us exalt His name. That's what we gather here at church to do, right? Is it not? To exalt His name, to lift up His word. Let me ask you this question. What do you think they're doing in heaven? I would say they are worshiping the only one who is worthy. What did Jesus pray when He prayed, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth, as it is done where? In heaven. What should we be doing here on earth? What they're doing in heaven. We ought to be living a life of continual worship in the way that we work, in the way that we teach one another. Do we ever fail? Let me ask you this. Was David failing when he wrote this psalm? Miserably. But you know what? He understood that God's worthy of all the praise. You know, we can get up after we fail and we can live for Him. Isn't that good? I fail every day. I'm telling you, I'm pathetic. Look what he says here in verse 4, because I said we're going to go to verse 7. I'm trying to move along. He said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, taking in consideration the context here, David was operating how? In fear. He was using deceit as a means of what was David ultimately trying to do? David was trying to deliver himself, was he not? He was. But here we see in this psalm that David, he gives all the glory and all the honor. He attributes all of his deliverance to the fact that what? God heard his cries for help and came to his rescue. Now, in our context in 1 Samuel that we've been studying, we don't see where David prays, does he? All we see is bits and pieces of what's going on. But according to this psalm, what did David say? I cried out to him and he heard me. So somewhere in between being caught, somewhere in between being exposed, somewhere in between acting insane, you know what David does? He resorts to what? Crying out to God. And you know what he said? God heard him. David didn't boast of his follies. He wasn't proud of what he had done. What does he do? He gives all credit to where credit is due. Could you imagine how thankful David must have been? Now think about it. David, we said David should have surely what? Died that day. Why? Well, we know that he went and molested what? 200, killed 200 Philistines at one time. Whenever Saul was looking for the dowry, he had killed what? The champion, the giant of Gath, right? He was a constant enemy. And all of a sudden, here he is. He goes into this town. And what should he have been done? What should have been done to him? He should have been killed. Could you imagine how thankful David must have been when he was released from their hands? Could you imagine how many praises? Now think, I want you to think, use your mind, think for a second. How many praises must have rolled off his tongue as he was heading back into the wilderness? Now when I say wilderness, I'm talking about a desert. Remember when he was coming through this wilderness, going to Gath, what mindset did he have? I would say without a doubt he was throwing a pity party. He had his tail tucked between his legs. He was in despair. He was in ruin. Why? He had to leave everything that he loved to what? To flee the country. Why? Because Saul was wanting to kill him. So you see the roundabout that he did. All of a sudden he goes in desperation. He comes out what? Rejoicing. Why? Because he's been spared. Now he's still in a bind. But you know what? His focus had changed. His focus wasn't on him. I guarantee you this, that David had a new perspective of that desolate place that he was walking through. Thinking, man, look at all these places I can hide. Because he was just in a bind. I promise you, when they had him bound up, when they were holding him, when he was in their hands, is what the scripture says, that he was in a bind. I bet you when he left, he had a new perspective. He looked at things differently. And you know what? That's what we need to do. How do we need to view life? Is life throw us curveballs? Huh? Troubles? Trials? Tribulations? It's evident here that in this psalm that David was grateful that God did not give him what he deserved. What did David deserve? Death. Look at verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Notice David transitions here. He makes a transition from speaking of who? Of himself to speaking of others. Others whom what? The Lord hath delivered. In other words, what David's saying is that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that has been delivered. David understood that who is the great deliverer? God is. And David understood that there was a great testimony. All think about what God, that's why it's so important for us to remember these things. And come and share these things. Why? Because it will encourage one another. How many of y'all get courage from one another? When we see others going through trials and they share of what God has done, it's so important. And that's what David does here. He knew that God was a great deliverer, and he knew that there were many that were not ashamed of the testimony of the deliverance of their great God. Look at verse 6. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble." Here we see David shifts his focus where? Back to himself. Not so that he can brag upon his condition, but that he can boast on the Lord. David was as low as a man could be here in this setting. He was. He was all alone. Who went with him to Gath? In our context, we don't have anybody going with him, do we? I know there was men that were coming to meet him, right? But they were not with him. According to the text that we have in 1 Samuel, David goes and he bears all this what? Alone and by himself. He had no one there to help him. He had no one there to deliver him. Except for who? The Lord. That's why he calls himself what? A poor man. Why? He was in a bind. And he wanted to give all the honor and glory to God. Last verse. He says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." If ever there was a man that truly learned this truth, I would have to say that this man was David. You say, why would you say that? We're going to find out as we go through this study. You know what David had to do? He had to stay on the run. Just because God delivered him out of this great distress that he was in this day, you know what? David's going to find himself continually going through these issues. I would have to say that David probably learned more on the run and more while he was in the hide than he did at any other time of his life. And you know what? God was the one that was orchestrating all this, allowing these things. You know, in our life, we're going to face troubles. We're going to be in places where we need great deliverance. And you know what? We will be delivered. You say, how do you know that? How do you know we're not going to have to face those trials? I didn't say we weren't going to have to face those trials. But if we go through those trials, you know what? Even if those trials bring us to the point of death, right? We, as children of God, will be delivered. Why? The Bible says, don't fear those that can what? Hurt your body, destroy your body. How many of us would testify that we do have a fear of people hurting us, killing us? I mean, I think that's natural. That's a built-in instinct to protect us, right? That's a natural defense system. Don't go walk out in that road. That's what I call sense, right? And I think that's good for us to have. That's a healthy fear. But we must understand that even though they may come against us, they may destroy this old flesh, they cannot separate us from the love of God. And David, I believe, on the run, you know what? He had to constantly be taught this. And God taught him these things time and time again. You know, our God is faithful. Even though we're not faithful. Even though everybody else, you know, there may come a time that everybody in this church forsakes us. But you know what? If we belong to Christ, He will not leave us nor forsake us. And there's great comfort in that. There's great comfort. Now, I'm not saying that I want anybody to forsake me. I don't like being disliked. But you know what? I can rest assured that my God is faithful to help me and to deliver me, though the mountain all around me will crumble and fall into the sea. You know what? I can trust that my God is able to deliver me. And you know what I ought to do? I ought to be ever mindful of that. I ought to be disciplined in a sense that I'm remind myself of that on a regular basis, so that His praise will be continually in my mouth. Think about, you ever been around people that nag or constantly negative? Y'all know anybody? I may be negative. Some of y'all may raise your hand and point to me. And I can be. I hate to say it, but I can be. No fun to be around, right? How good is it to be around somebody that's constantly praising God? Somebody that's thankful. Somebody that's grateful for what they have. They're not complaining, I wish I had this truck, or I wish I had those tires, or I wish I had this, or I wish I had that girlfriend. She's better looking than mine. No, we ought to be thankful for what God's given us, right? And we ought to give Him all the praise. Why? Because He's due. He deserves it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You, and we do praise You, and we do ask that You help us. And God, we do ask that You forgive us where we fail You. In Christ's name, amen.